In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters, our lives are not real orderly. We should admit that at least to ourselves. There's a lot of disorder in our lives. What helps organize a disorganized life is some order, some organization. So it is the same way in our spiritual life. The church has a rhythm throughout the year. We celebrate feasts, we prepare for them, we celebrate them, and then we reflect upon them after they are celebrated. And that's what was happening now. This is the Sunday before the exaltation of the Holy Cross. Next Thursday will be that feast. And so there will be readings, and we have actually been saying Kattavasya from the canon for some time, preparing for the feast. The reading for the preparation of the feast for liturgy tomorrow, one of them, is from Galatians. And it is preparing us to understand what the cross means in our life. Now, one can read the epistles, especially the epistles, because they're so really deeply, heavily theological. There's so much explanation in them, especially St. Paul's epistles. And try to understand the theology and understand the meanings of all the things he's talking about, and circumcision, uncircumcision, and about the high priest and Melchizedek and all these things that St. Paul talks about, which are quite complicated. And that's important. But the most important thing is to have the scriptures touch you, heal you, enlighten you. And that's how I always read the scriptures, because I'm a simple kind of guy. I don't know them that well. I just know when they touch me, which is just about every time I read them. So let's look at what St. Paul says. We'll have a little bit of the theology. That is the sort of the explanation stuff. But then let's see what it means to us personally, because that's what's most important. If you don't apply the theology, it's dead. So St. Paul says, he at the end of Galatians, he's making, all of Galatians, by the way, is really about the Judaizers, and St. Paul is presenting a case against them. That is, Jews who had become Christian, but were wishing the Gentiles to submit to the law as they did. And St. Paul says this is not the way we should do things. And he has very many complicated arguments about this. But it comes down, really, at the end of Galatians, as St. Paul often does after giving lots of complicated arguments, he gets really down to the basis of what we must think and do. And he does that at the end of Galatians. He says, as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. He's talking about the Judaizers who are trying to make the Gentiles be circumcised, which was the Jewish sign of belonging to God. What they didn't understand, these Judaizers, was that circumcision was a type of baptism. When you have baptism, you don't need any more the type to baptism. The type points to the reality. When the reality is present, you do not need the type anymore. And that's why circumcision passed away as a practice. It wasn't needed. Now we have baptism. But the Judaizers wanted circumcision partially because they wanted to avoid persecution, because there were Jews who would persecute those who were not circumcised. Now we're going to get down to what's really important. So that's a little bit of the background. It's good to know. But here's what's really, really important to know that must come out of this background. He says, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. Paul is describing what the Christian faith is. It is to become new, to become renewed, to become perfected, to become holy. Not to fulfill any rules, but to become changed, to become a new creature. Jewish circumcision didn't do that. Jewish circumcision was membership as the people of God, but not change in the heart. Change in the heart only occurs with baptism and with struggling to live the Christian life and with God helping us. It's a whole different mindset. And to this day, most people think of Christianity as the Judaizers did. That it is certain things you believe, say, and belong to. But they don't understand that it is who you are and who you are becoming. What does it mean to glory in the cross of Christ? Well, we can't take credit for anything Christ did. That's not what it means. What it means is to look at the example of the cross of Christ and realize that on that cross, Jesus Christ effected change in human nature such that we could become perfected, be completely forgiven and changed, and to have a deep desire to follow that way, that example that Christ gave of self-sacrifice and of giving his life for his friends. That's what the glory in the cross of Christ is. So everything you do every day, every moment, should be to glory in the cross of Christ, to be a little bit more like Christ. On a secular level, perhaps you think of a little brother who wants to do everything his big brother does. Or a son who, when he's young, not when he's older, but when he's young, thinks his father does everything perfectly and wants to be just like his dad. Well, this is the way we should be with the cross. It's a mindset, it's a way of living that Paul is describing. It has to come over us and change us. Look what Paul says after this. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be upon them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. The Israel of God is everybody, not just those people who are genetically related to Jacob, Israel, but everyone. The Israel of God is the church. And if we walk according to this rule, that we glory in the way of the cross, then we will have peace. What a glorious thing. Now, the next verse I don't really understand. I suppose a Bible scholar might. But I'll tell you that even though I don't understand the exact meaning that someone might say, it still very much edifies me. He says, from henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Some people will say St. Paul had some sort of marks on him. Here's honestly what I think he's saying. I guess you'd have to say, you know, remember when St. Paul says, you know, I, not the Lord, say. This is me saying, not the Lord. That if we glory in the cross of Christ, why should we be afraid of what any man does to us or says about us? Let no man trouble us. Oh, we might be troubled by a whole lot of people for a whole lot of reasons, but let it not trouble our soul. This is not our home. Our home is the heavenly Jerusalem. If we lived like our home is that abiding city, we wouldn't sin. If we gloried in the cross of Christ, we wouldn't be self-centered. We wouldn't be suspicious. We wouldn't be angry. We wouldn't be jealous. None of those things. Because we would consider it a great privilege to die with him St. Paul said he dies daily. The apostles, before the Lord was going to go to his passion, said, "Let's go so that we can die with him." Well, they weren't quite ready yet. They scattered. But later on, when they were renewed after the resurrection, they were quite ready to die for him. So should we be. If we live our life in order to die for Christ, then we are truly alive. No man can trouble us. We live in troubling times. Sometimes I think that they're not really any more particularly troubling than any other time. It's just that we have, really, because of our technology, an ability to change things so quickly and communicate good and bad so rapidly that it is truly a different age. But people are the same. But we shouldn't be the same. We should be different every day. If we bear in our body the marks of the Lord Jesus, not as literal wounds, but as it were a sort of spiritual mark that marks us as different, as sanctified, as set apart from the world, then we shouldn't let what any man says to us or about us or does to us bother us. That's the Christian way of life. That's a way of life that lives above everything on the earth. Now, theoretically, that's the way we should live. Practically, we're constantly in the world and living about the world and of the world. But the saints, they lived above the world. And so should we. And if we understand what St. Paul is saying, that becoming a new creature means that we should be such that no man can ever trouble us anymore, that we're living for something true and perfect and holy and eternal, that changes the way we live. So that's what this reading from Galatians says to my heart. Every time I read it, it says that. And every time I read it, I get excited. Now, perhaps 10 minutes later or an hour later, I do something stupid, foolish, weak, lazy, whatever it is. But there's something in my heart that feels this great expectation. This is going to happen to me, God granting, God helping me. It's going to happen to you too. And if you live with that expectation, you'll be saved from a lot of sin. So God help you to have this expectation. You are a new creature. You are becoming renewed every moment, every day. What happens in the world, what people say, what people do, none of it matters. What matters is who you become, who you are. That is Christianity. So God help us to live like new creatures. The blessing of the Lord be upon you through his grace and love for mankind, always, now and ever, and unto the ages of ages. Amen.